Well, praise the Lord this morning. It's good to be with you and looking into the Word of God this morning. And I was just considering what to speak on and what to share. And I got that idea of strength. Strength, that God wants His people to be strong. All right, that's the description of those overcomers, those young men and women who have moved on from being little children in Christ. And what is the distinction? It's that they become strong and that they can overcome the wicked one, and they become consistent and overcoming and triumphing. And you know, God is coming for a triumphant church, a strong church. I think that there's some work yet to be done in the church so far, right? But yet His promise is that it will be a glorious church. But you know, one of the main reasons it's going to be glorious is it's going to be full of strength. The strength of the Lord is going to be so apparent upon His people. Oh, I long for that. I don't want to wait for revival for that. I want that now. Lord, give us strength, that Your strength would just be evident in our lives. You know, that we don't have to wait for the time of miracles and glorious things happening, you know, and in the great revival of the last days to ask for this. Is that we can receive strength now. And I just felt so quickened that God wants to make us strong. He wants to fill us with strength. And the church is going to be glorious again because of that. You know, the Apostle Paul shared how he preached. And he was a wise man, wasn't he? We actually mentioned this. I'm going to mention a few verses we talked about last week in our prayer meeting. But he was a wise man, and I think if anyone could have shared, you know, just little wise things and put people in awe of his wisdom, it was the Apostle Paul. Right? He was really smart. He was an intelligent man. But in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 8, listen to what he says of how he came and how he ministered to people. 2 and verse 4. He says, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power." Oh, Lord, that's what we need. Sometimes I kind of get a little nervous up here. I'm like, Lord, don't let it be just words that I've put together. Let there be power behind it. Let it be the Spirit of God speaking to us, because that's when it's effective. That's when it's powerful. You know, we need to have the right words to speak to people. That's step number one, right? We need to figure out what we need to say to people. If we don't know what to say, then, you know, that's kind of a limitation of the Lord. And so we study the Bible, you know, we listen to the Lord, we pray and such. But, you know, it goes so much more beyond having the right words. Because a lot of the times you can say everything you need to say to someone to convince them, but they're not convinced. Now, some people will never be convinced. We're putting those to the side. But some people need the power of God to grip their hearts. And we mentioned last week those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Did you ever think about the fact they were walking the wrong way? They were going in the opposite direction of where they needed to go. And there's so many people on that road. They're going the opposite direction. And sometimes you can warn them. You can say, you know what, that's dangerous. You're going away from the presence of God and the fire of God happening here. And they're just, well, you know, this looks like a nice way. But when Jesus spoke to them, and after he left, you know why they ran back the right way? They said in Luke 24, verse 32, he said, "Didn't our hearts burn within us? Weren't we gripped by what he was saying?" They didn't even know he was Jesus at the time. They knew him they caught a glimpse of him at the end. He was gracious enough to reveal himself, and then he was gone. But when he was speaking, our hearts were burning. Has that ever happened to you in a message, or someone's been sharing something, and it's like, oh, that just grips me. It's been burning. And it's not anything that they did per se. It's not just the words they share, but the Holy Spirit just came upon those words, and oh, there was power in those words. I love that feeling of power when the Holy Spirit comes upon words that we've heard, because there's power to change at that point if we will follow and willing to walk in that way. Oh, there's such power, and that's what we need. We need that power. And of course, we're talking about something spiritual, right? As I think has been clear, you know, we're talking about something that comes from the Holy Spirit. And for 2 Timothy, I got to get my numbers right here. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. 2 Timothy 1, 7. We're very familiar with this first part, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, right? And thank God for that. In His kingdom, He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, even though there's things we fear, but that's not always the emotional response of fear. Sometimes it is. If we're not walking in the right way, then we need to be afraid. But, you know, it's respect, it's awe. We do not have to be subject to a spirit where we're always fearful. But what spirit can we have? I never really focused on this first one that the Lord brings out. You know, the Lord spoke this to Sarah here a couple of weeks ago. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but He's given us a spirit of power. What spirit does God want flowing through us? It's the spirit of power, of love and a sound mind. You know, that, and this word, Greek word for power is dunamis. It means force, strength, miraculous power. Power to do something we normally can't do. Of course, that's where we get our word dynamite. If you have a stronghold that needs to be broken up and you've tried it on your own, you need a little dynamite in there and light the fuse. And that'll go away very quickly. Of course, it's on the Lord's way. It's His spirit. But, you know, if we can get a hold of the spirit of power in our lives and apply that to our situations, oh, that could make a difference. Now, of course, we all face those at times, one time or another, strongholds in our lives, or, you know, that want to keep us from going on with God, or maybe spiritual powers, or, you know, we fight powers and principalities that want to come against us. But not one of those things can resist the dunamis power of God, because it is dynamite. It will explode and destroy anything that stands before us when that power of the Spirit is flowing. And that's how we can overcome. But really what determines whether we're going to overcome is how much of that dunamis power is flowing in us, right? You know, you could get a tiny fraction of that stick of dynamite and it'll make some noise, but it's not going to do the destruction that, you know, once you start getting up there. I don't know if you've ever been around fireworks or that kind of thing. I think Sarah told me that her brother used to get little quarter sticks, you know, and they were quite loud. And, you know, I used to get the little firecrackers and tie them all together and do one big boom. You know, there's power in that. That's why little boys like to play with fireworks. There's power in that. But so much more in the Spirit. You know, we can't apply our natural mind to that. But when we get the spirit of might flowing, oh, there's such power. You know, Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through the power of Christ flowing through me. Nothing can stand before us. You know, it's not just because we have the right words to say, or we followed the right principles, or we've read this latest book or whatever, but when the power of God comes, that is what makes the difference. Now, we can look at this and we can say, okay, yeah, we need the power of God. How do we obtain the power of God? Because obviously, you know, we can ask the Lord, Lord, just give me your power. I need your power. But sometimes the power doesn't always come when you would like it to, right? And, you know, as we look at this, we realize there's certain things that have to take place in our life to receive the power of God and to have that flowing through us. And one of the first things, and I think this is the number one principle, is that when we are strong in ourselves, it is very difficult to obtain the strength of God. And I can illustrate this with the Apostle Paul. You know, he is the apostle of power, but yet he had to experience that lack of strength in his own life. In 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, we see how he had to become weak. And we know he was suffering with an affliction, He doesn't say expressly here, but we think it was probably his eyesight. You know, and you can imagine how annoying that would be, as the apostle who has to write letters to everyone, and they hadn't invented glasses yet, and he's trying to write letters and so forth. But so he has to dictate everything, and so he says, "Lord, I experience your power every day healing people. Lord, would you just heal my eyes?" And he prayed three times for that. And this is what the Lord replied in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. The Lord said to him, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect. It's made complete and whole in your life through weakness." Now here's Paul's response. "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ might rest upon me." That's quite something. Usually when an infirmity comes, that's when we start rebuking, right? We're coming against the enemy in Jesus' name. And Paul could have done that, but, you know, he would have been coming against what God wanted to do in his life. That God allowed this weakness and this trouble to come, this difficulty, because it was a key. You know, that as he experienced this weakness and he had to just cry out for the grace of God and walk through this for a season. Well, for him, it was a long season. God had some miraculous things to do through him. But you know, sometimes we have to walk through a season of weakness. And why is that? You know, well, sometimes we can say, well, we just have to suffer in this life. But you know, if we look beyond that to the purposes of God, God always has a purpose. It's to do something. And sometimes he'll bring weakness for this very point, as Paul said, that the power of Christ might rest, might dwell, might flow through my life. See, we need the power of God, but sometimes it comes through weakness. Well, I shouldn't say sometimes, I'd say every time. It comes because we have become weak in ourselves. We've come to that place where we're willing to say, "Lord, not my will. Not the way I want to do it, but Lord, your way, your will be done." You know, even after we come to the Lord, sometimes we can still have some confidence in our own abilities or our own ways of doing things. And God has to tear that down a little bit. Sometimes before he can build up, he has to tear down. As we can understand in the natural, when you build, you got to remove the shack that's there if you want to build that mansion first. And so he has to bring us to that place where we're willing. And that's really the key, is just a willingness. And then he'll take care of the rest. But you know, it's so dangerous. I was just reading in Psalm 52. Really, I think this is one of the biggest troubles of man, is being willing to come to this place. In Psalm 52 and verse 7, he's speaking of the wicked here. It says, "Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but he trusted in the abundance of his riches, and he strengthened himself in his wickedness," or he strengthened himself in his own ways, but he made not God his strength. You know, and of course we see that was Psalm 52:7, and that's the end of the wicked, is they make them, they find their own source of strength. You know, and as Christians, we want to make sure that our source of strength is in Christ. And sometimes God will say, "Well, I need to make you weak in this area. I'm going to bring this into your life." And as we just cry out for the grace of God and we're willing to submit to it for a season and let God bring us through, that can free us for the power of God to flow into our lives. Now, I want to look at strength also in a little different way, because We're talking about something spiritual, but yet there's a very natural component to this too. Because in order to become strong spiritually, there's some natural things we have to do, right? Even though this is the Holy Spirit coming into our lives, yet in the natural we can understand, if you want to become strong in the natural, there's some very practical things we have to do to become strong. And then we have to exercise. And if we want to become strong in the Spirit, then we need to exercise ourselves spiritually. You know, in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 7, I'm using a lot of the Apostle Paul, his words, because You know, you realize he spoke a lot on strength. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 7, he said to his spiritual son, Timothy, he said, exercise yourself unto godliness. Exercise yourself unto godliness. And you know, there's an aspect to the power of God is that, you know, we have to work and do some things in the Spirit continually, day by day, in order to have that ability to flow in the strength of God. And, you know, this process of developing strength is kind of real to me. I joined a gym lately, and I've been trying to do that in the natural, you know, huffing and puffing and all those things, that, trying to get in shape in the natural. But, you know, as I've been meditating on this, I realize what a wonderful illustration that is, and I think why God designed our bodies that way. If we want to become strong, we got to work at it, you know. And there's such a parallel that if we want to become strong in the Spirit, there's some natural things we need to do. And I realize there's a method to become strong, right? If we want to build muscles and become strong, I think all of us realize, you know, you got to exercise and lift weights and all sorts of things, you know. And I also realize there's a lot of gimmicks out there. You turn on TV and you start flipping channels, and probably within a few minutes you'll start to see one of those gimmicks. You know, some doctor out there saying, I have the latest fad for getting in shape or losing weight, or, you know, do this diet, right? And, you know, there's a lot of things out there, and we probably all tried them at one point. You know, I know I'm guilty of that. But really, you know, when it comes down to it, most of the studies say it comes down to just being consistent. Right? If you're just consistent in doing whatever works for you, it'll be effective and you can become strong. But that carries over into the spiritual realm, right? Because how many of us know there's also a lot of gimmicks in the spiritual realm? You know, you can walk into the Christian bookstore and you can see the latest book on this method of, you know, whatever, church planting, or, you know, this new method of becoming a prayer warrior, of doing this or having this list or raising up disciples in this way. But, you know, really it comes down to being consistent. Being consistent in seeking the Lord and exercising ourselves in spiritual matters. Of course, eating the right spiritual food, too. That makes a big difference. You know, but I think we know the basics. I don't have to go into depth in what the basics are, right? We have to come to the Word every day and seek Him, you know, and allow that Word to wash us every day. Sometimes we get dirty in the Spirit, and just as much as in the natural, you know, when we come to the Word each day, it washes us. And the Lord likes clean people to come into His presence. I think He has a sensitive nose. Like, He likes the sweet-smelling incense. He didn't say the gym sock smelling incense coming up. He wants to be clean. He wants us to be clean through washing of the water of the Word. And that each time we come and we cause the Word to come into us, it's strengthening us. It's making us strong. It's increasing us. And so, you know, and it's important to have a plan. Just as much as we have to have a plan to get in shape naturally, we need that spiritually, that we set time aside each day to read. And you know, I think most of us here probably use a Bible reading plan, but that was one of the most effective tools that changed my spiritual life. My dad handed me a Bible reading plan as a teenager, and I read the Bible through in a whole year, and I thought, wow, that's something. And you know, when I got to Bible school, I was so glad that he had done that, because they were preaching and teaching on some obscure verse, and hey, that's familiar to me. I've read that. You know, and it prepared the way for me to understand and to grow strong. And it's so important that we do that. And you know, I'm preaching to the choir here, but yet this is something we can share to other people to become strong. It's so important that every day we come to the Word. Of course, prayer as well. You know, we want to come into the presence of God. And really, we're coming into the presence of God when we read as well, because we're hearing His voice. But yet when we pray, we're presenting our needs and lifting up others. And there's a verse in Psalm 96 and verse 6. 96 and verse 6. It says, honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Strength and beauty are in the presence of God. as we come into His presence and we're, you know, lifting up our requests under the throne of God. And, you know, of course, we're encouraged. Come boldly before the throne of God in time of need, because that's where we can receive strength. And so each day we want to make that time, you know, to pray and to come into His presence. You know, we're there to lift up and pray for others, but, you know, we're there to receive as well. You know, and God doesn't mind us asking, Lord, oh, meet with me. Give me a fresh portion of Your strength today. And each day that will build us up, and each day it will make a difference so that we become strong. Now, another thing that I've felt the Lord emphasizing more and more to me as time has gone on is speaking in tongues. Now, every day I've made time to read the Bible and to pray. That's like a daily routine. But, you know, God's kind of challenged me that I have not included in my routine a significant portion. You know, I might starting out praying in tongues for like 30 seconds and then I start praying. But, you know, God's been challenging me that if we want to have a flow of the Spirit, if we want strength to come by the Spirit of God, then we need to speak in tongues, because it allows the Holy Spirit to flow through us. It's the most practical way that God has given to us to have a flow of the Spirit, you know, other than worshiping. But obviously we can worship in the Spirit, you know, that speaking in tongues is so powerful. And so we want to understand that's something we need to practice as well. And I've started to understand why Paul said, you know, I want you guys to speak in tongues, but I want you to know I speak in tongues more than everyone else to his church, because it was so important. It was so it's such a practical thing that we can do that can make such a difference. Paul needed strength because, you know, he told his churches, I'm coming to minister strength to you. I'm coming to give you strength. But he had to have it to give. And so he spoke in tongues more than everyone else because he needed strength. Now, another aspect of strength and exercising, in fact, some of the guys at the gym, they were telling me, you know, how you can get a process going and how you can exercise. But they gave me a warning. You know, they said, don't do the same exercise every day, all the time. You have to have variation. You know, you have to do one exercise one day and then do a different one the next day. And even over the month, do a totally different routine, because there's an aspect of becoming strong is that you need a variation in your exercise. And, you know, I'm not talking about some of these practical things like we should, you know, stop praying one day or something like that. But it's more the experiences that God leads us through to apply His strength into our lives. You know, because it says in Psalm 87, we go from strength to strength. We go from one level to the next level. You know, sometimes you can come to a plateau and you need a new experience. And sometimes that new experience is great, you know. He brings you up to the mountaintop. And we all love those experiences, right, where he's really speaking to you. He's teaching us, you know. And we want to say just like Peter, Lord, let's start a building program right here and let's stay here. But then the Lord points down to the valley. And he said, well, we need to go down, because that's where there's a new level of strength that can be found. You know, so it's so important to realize this, you know, that it's an aspect of strength. One day we can be, not necessarily emotionally we're up and down, but yet in our experience, in our walk with God, we're on the mountaintop. And then we're in the valley, and sometimes when in the valley we say, Lord, bring me back up to the mountaintop ASAP, as soon as possible. But yet we don't want to miss out on those opportunities to develop strength. There's some exercises that I really enjoy doing, and there's some that I do not enjoy doing, you know, because they burn and they hurt. And I say, well, maybe I should do more of the other ones that are more fun. But, you know, if we're going to be strong, we need that variation. We need to allow God to take us from one level to another through each experience. Another aspect of becoming strong is, you know, we need to have a long-term outlook. We need to set our goals in the long term, that you know, God is going to make us strong. He's going to make us overcomers. But realizing we don't get there tomorrow or the next day or next week or even next year, you know, although I think God can do a lot in us in a year. But that we have that long-term vision because, you know, everyone wants to become strong and it's exciting. The problem is it doesn't happen overnight, right? It's not fast. And it's tempting to try and do more to make it go faster, right? Well, if I, you know, I think I should pray half an hour, but if I pray 2 hours, maybe that I'll get even stronger. Well, maybe. But one thing that will happen, if you keep doing that, you'll get burned out. And you'll stop altogether. And, you know, it's tempting to say that. You know, and this, you know, I see a lot of people in the natural, you know, they say that the gyms are the most crowded in January and the spring. And they are a little crowded, but then they say by the summer it kind of, you know, thins out the crowd that tries to exercise too much and then gets burned out and just gives up because they don't see instant results. You know, we want to have that long term. And that helps us because it's just, hey, I just have to do a little bit today. I'm not trying to become a saint on the level of the Apostle Paul in a week or even in a month or even in a year. Because then it's just overwhelming and you give up. But today, if you'll hear my voice, you know, walk in my way. And, you know, really, that's not a lot. We spend time in prayer. He speaks to his word to us. And we just let that word work in us. And we just go and do what we need to do that day. And then we repeat day after day. And it makes such a difference if we have that long term. And especially if he speaks to us. You know, of something to do, you know, maybe an emphasis on witnessing or something, that it's just day by day. We just obey him for that day. We don't get overwhelmed. And the biggest reason we give up is because we're looking at this goal we have, and then we're looking at ourselves, and they don't look anything alike. We say, oh, nothing's happening. I think I'm going to stop because it's just, I'm not getting there. But yet, if we can put that a little farther off, and look at it with binoculars and say, well, it's still a long way off, and so I have some more to go. And each day we just kind of keep going there. You know, before we realize it, we're going to be getting pretty close. And God is going to, you know, strengthen and establish and build up the work that he's done in us if we'll continue. And that's really the key, is continuing in the things that he speaks to us and continuing to practice and exercise ourselves, you know, in those spiritual matters as he leads us. You know, waiting on the Lord each day for that portion of strength. You know, there's a verse in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 11. Colossians 1 and verse 11, it says, We're strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. And so far we have an amen with that, right? That's what we want. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Unto all patience and long suffering. Wait a minute. How does that work? No, God wants to strengthen us to continue. He wants to strengthen us so that we can be patient. He wants to strengthen us so that we can be long suffering. And I think that's why the Apostle Paul needed strength, so much of it, because he was called to long suffering. That was his calling. That's probably why I spoke in tongues so much. Lord, help me to be long-suffering. But strength is so closely tied with these characteristics or these abilities that he wants to develop in us. Perseverance, long-suffering. He wants to give us strength day by day so that we can continue in those ways and in his ways. You know, if you examine those who are strong, you will always find these characteristics. Even in the natural, you know, sometimes, you know, you look at people who are, you know, big muscle bound people and, you know, you know, they got tattoos and stuff. But, you know, if you looked at their lives, you would see some qualities. That every day they go to the gym, that every day they've eat right, that every day they've exercised. There's these qualities in there. They're only applying to that at one aspect of their life, but yet they have that. And they've become strong. But how much more those who are spiritually strong? It is impossible to become spiritually strong unless we develop these qualities of endurance, of patience, of long-suffering, being willing to continue until we see and obtain what God has given us. And we want that. We want to do that. We want to continue in what God has called us to do. And then we will become strong. And so we want to allow God to work in us, because then will come the increase. In fact, we see this in Paul's life. We can see it in the beginning. Back when he wasn't Paul, he was Saul. In Acts 9, verse 22, it says, "But Saul increased more in strength." There was a period of increasing, where he increased more and more, at Acts 9:22. Proving, and he was able to prove to those in Damascus that this is the very Christ. That Paul, he had that period in his life of just increasing and increasing, becoming stronger and stronger, of coming from strength to strength, until he became the apostle of strength. I think that's a good term for him, because he was long-suffering. I'm just going to close with one more verse. I've thrown a lot at you here. But in Ephesians 3 and verse 20, this is the one I want to leave us with, just considering. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us." We're looking for those exceeding abundant promises, more than we can ask or think. But it's according to the power of God. It's according to that level of dunamis power that's flowing in our hearts and in the spirits. And so we need that power. We need that anointing. We need that strength developed in our lives as we seek Him day by day, as we do those things that are necessary, as we continue in God. And so let's cry out for that power in Him, even this morning. Lord, we need Your power. And let's allow Him to work in us. Do those things that are necessary. Speaking in tongues. You know, and let that power work within us so that we're full of the strength of the Lord. Father, we just do come to You this morning. Lord, we are so desperate and needy. Lord, we just acknowledge and we recognize that we have no strength on our own. Lord, we have nothing to offer You, but yet what You've given to us, the abilities You've put within us. And Lord, we want to come and Lord, we just come humbly before You, Lord, asking for Your strength. And Lord, that You would make us strong. Father, we just ask that You would even give us a new heart to do what's necessary, to become strong in the Spirit of God. Oh, Lord, make us those who are full of strength. Lord, even clothe us with strength, Lord, that glory of Your strength that You have promised will come upon the church in these days. Lord, we desire that. Upon our lives, upon our church, upon our fellowship. Oh, clothe us with the strength of the Spirit of God. Let Your dunamis power operate in our lives. Oh, work in us, we pray. We invite You, Holy Spirit. Come and lead us each day. Show us those things that are necessary. Lord, help us to continue in those areas that You want to work within our lives, that we will become strong, we ask. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.